Welcome back to Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, coming up on Sunday, it's Space and Evanston's 7 o'clock show. The Chicago area is in for a real treat. Singer-songwriter Judith Owen will be on stage along with legendary bass player Leland Sklar. Owen is an eclectic talent, one that's it's hard to put her into a category. The Welsh musician released her first album in North America back in 1996-ish and never looked back. She's toured the country with acts like Katie Lang and Brian Ferry, and she just released her 11th studio album called Somebody's Child. She's the co-founder of Twanky Records with her husband, Harry Shearer. Leland Sklar is a bass player who has played on over 2,000 records in his career. 2,600. I'm late. I got bad information. Right. Everyone from James Taylor to Phil Collins to pretty much anyone else who's ever recorded music. Both are in studio tonight before their big show at Space, like I said, in Evanston this Sunday at 7 o'clock, along with their other bandmates, Pedro Segunda, Helen Galay, and Rebecca Crenshaw, all in studio. And we're going to hear some music right now live. What are we going to hear, Judith?
You're going to hear the title track of my new album, which is called Somebody's Child. And it's really a song about a girl, a homeless girl that I saw in the winter in the snow on the streets of Manhattan.
All right, take it away.
There's a girl on the street in a trash bag dress. There's a baby in her belly, milk in her breast. And crossing the street, cause she's acting so wild. She used to be me, and she's somebody's child. Spare a little thought for down up, cause it's true. If the tables were turned, the deal was different, it might be you. Well, look at that man, he lives in his car, cause a run of bad luck went and pushed him too far. A woman who lives in a box at the back, when she started out, did her dreams include that? So spare a little thought for the down and out, cause it's true.
Fantastic. That's so great. Let the street, you guys like it?
Yeah.
There we go. Always good to get the Michigan Avenue crowd involved.
They are. I love them.
Judith Owen in studio tonight. Her band, of course, are going to be at Space in Evanston this Sunday night at 7 o'clock. Part of the band, of course, the legendary bass player Leland Sklar. Also, Pedro Segundo, who's on percussion. Helen Galay, who's on cello. And Rebecca Crenshaw, who's the violin player tonight. I mean, it's great to have you here. I know you come to Chicago a lot. I mean, what is it? What does it mean to you to have Chicago be part of the regular, you know, repertoire for you and your band?
Oh, I love Chicago. I really, you know, I mean, I'm here because of the fabulous Dan Filato, of course, who's just been a dear friend of Harry's and now of mine, and even drove me around on one of my earliest tours around America, which was a great thing. And my first experience of playing in Chicago was really with Richard Thompson, A Thousand Years of Popular Music. And so I became very much in love with this place and got to know it very, very well. And then once Harry and I started doing this show called Christmas Without Tears, and originally to raise money for post-Katrina for New Orleans, which is where we actually live, to help the you know, buy musical instruments and help the musicians there and get them healthcare. It became a regular thing at Space, and Space has really meant home to me.
That's a great place.
It is one of the most remarkable jewels of a venue because they care so much about musicians, about the way you're treated, about taking great care of you, about really, really nurturing them. You know, they have many venues now, I know, throughout Chicago, but Space means an awful lot to me. Well, we'll be going back again to do the Christmas show December 10th. But first, before I go back on the road to these wonderful people with to support Brian Ferry, I seem to be like traveling the world with him, which is so amazing. I get to do this just very, very few, very few headline shows, and that's why one of them for me had to be here. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I said in the beginning, you kind of defy category. You're one of these singer-songwriters who, you can't necessarily say jazz, or you're not going to say pop music. No. But I mean, you do definitely, you could feel the influence. I mean, just on that song alone, the amount of different styles and influences that you hear, is that intentional? I mean, the idea to sort of be everything?
Yeah, my I grew up in a household which was absolutely, you know, knee deep in every kind of music you could possibly ever want to listen to. My father was a very successful opera singer at Covent Garden in London, so I grew up backstage at the opera. But he had a love of black music like I've never come across since in my entire life. I mean, New Orleans music, Chicago music, the R&B, the blues, gospel, Motown, everything, jazz, big jazz fan. My mother was a huge jazz fan, big band fan. So I was listening to Chopin and Ella Fitzgerald and Frank Sinatra and Stevie Wonder and Aretha Franklin. And then I was also listening to desperately depressing Welsh folk music, you know, because that's who I Welsh people, you know, basically we live in the minor key. And Harry describes me quite beautifully as being the glass half broken, which I think is a perfect. There's not even any water in there. It's just the glass is broken.
I think about Chicago, and I mean, it's got such roots in blues and jazz, yes, and even soul music, yeah, here. When you talk about being Welsh born or Welsh influenced, I mean, is that what really?
I'm Welsh. I'm Welsh. You're looking at a true bird beaky face here. Isn't that right, lovely people on Michigan Avenue? I look so Welsh. It's true.
But I mean, is that the stock and trade of a Welsh musician, is the sort of folk music? Is that the traditional music that comes out of that
our
area?
Thing, you know, you know, different parts of Britain. In Scotland, you're doing Scottish country dancing, and there'd be fiddles and the ceilidh and everything like that. And Irish, you'd be doing the crack, and as in not crack, but you know, the crack, and you'd be just going berserk. Welsh people are like Irish without the fun, I always say. And so we just like really depressing, depressing biblical music. And it's all about singing. It's all about the voice. So when you see or hear someone like Tom Jones, who absolutely is completely immersed in R&B and the blues, mm-hmm, and gospel, and then that's what you're hearing music and singing that's from the soul, and it's about the soul. And I think my music is pulled from every influence I've had in my life, including hearing this marvelous man, yes, to my left when I was a kid, and he was not much, you know, old, he was a kid himself. When I was a kid singing along to James Taylor in the car, because my parents were such huge fans. How many of us have been singing along to James Taylor in the car? And literally, I was listening to Leland and Russ, you know, and then to be able to actually get together with, yeah, him in particular. So the bass is so important to my music. It's such an extraordinary thing to be able to work with this man, with Russ Kunkel and Waddy Wachtel, and to do the last record, and then to do this, which I believe, this the first one, Ebb and Flow, was much more a love letter to to the music of Laurel Canyon. That is such a, you know, as a confessional singer-songwriter. And but this one, I think, is so much more about the two places I live, America and Britain, yeah. and combining those sounds. And my style is all of that music because, to me, it is one language.
Well, that's what you've lived.
It is yeah. my language. That's yeah. what I speak.
Judith Owen in studio, Leland Sklar as well, and I want to bring Leland in here. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll continue the conversation. Judith is going to be with Leland and the band at Space in Evanston coming up on Sunday. 7 o'clock start in Evanston at Space, which is a great place. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. More music and conversation. Stay with us. It's a download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. I'm excited to have in studio with us Judith Owen and Leland Sklar and the band as well. It's just great playing on Sunday at Space in Evanston. I want to bring Leland in as well. Judith, the new record, Somebody's Child. We're going to hear two more songs this hour, which yeah. is great. I'm so excited to have you guys here, and I know the audience is as well on Michigan Avenue. I want to bring Leland in. Leland Sklar, legendary bass player. Thanks for being here. It's great to meet you.
I'm proud to be here. I love Chicago and love being out with Judith and these crazy people we're out here on the road with.
I would say that you'd probably, I mean, you talked about 2,600 different performances, albums, I mean, and yeah. also touring. Chicago has to have played a huge role in your musical career.
Yeah, we started coming here in 1970 with James Taylor, and this was like our annual summer stop. Every year we would come to Chicago, and I've always loved, I have a lot of friends here, and I love to come here and eat.
Sure.
You know, and the art and the parks and everything. It's a beautiful city. It's really a magical city. So
you know, when I say that you've played on 2,600 records, you know, a lot of that is in session work.
Yeah.
When did you make that transition from being in James Taylor's band and being a bass player that was in bands to one that, you know, did so many different albums and became a professional session musician?
Well, I was really fortunate. I was kind of there at the golden age of when all this was really happening, coming out of the 60s. And we were kind of handed the baton from the Wrecking Crew people,
right.
even though I ended up working with a lot of those guys over the years. But when I met James Taylor, I was still in college. I was in science and art major in college in my fifth year, and met James, and we were offered one show to do at the Troubadour, and I'm still on that gig. But it was we were very fortunate because I think this is really due to Peter Asher, who was producing and managing James at the time. Was when we started recording with James, he insisted that our names appear on the LPs. So all of a sudden, when guys like Jackson Browne and all these singer-songwriters were being signed, because James went from obscurity one week to being on the cover of Time magazine the next week, everybody would look at the back of that album and they would see me and Russ Kunkel and Danny Kortchmar,
right.
and they would say, well, if it worked for James, let's get those guys. And really, we had to kind of learn on the fly. I had never been in the studio. I had done a couple of demos with bands, but you know, suddenly we were on projects and really learning how to craft a sound. And we were doing, on an average, through the 70s, of 4 and 5 sessions a day, 6, 7 days a week.
Wow, that's amazing.
It was madness. Everybody was being signed, and it was just it was so vital and alive. And then through all that, like I was in a band called The Section, which was the opening, which was the band for James Taylor and Jackson Browne. But we also went on the road with Mahavishnu Orchestra and were opening for them. And so I got to know Billy Cobham. So then he called me to do Spectrum. So suddenly I was in the fusion world. And, you know, it's one of these things that's just every time you turn around, there's a new thing. I spent like 12 years working out of Nashville. Even though I lived in L.A., I'd fly back every other week and did probably 600 albums out of Nashville.
I mean, one of the things I read about, I was reading an interview you did about the difference between, because you would think automatically that being a session musician, precision is the ultimate. But in your case, you talked about you never play the same part the same way twice, that it's much more about feel. And I'm interested and intrigued by that, especially in an environment where they're like, let's do it again.
Well, I really find myself living in the moment. I'm really not. I don't intellectualize my parts unless I absolutely have to. But I'm like a first take person. That's really where my juices flow. And after that, you find yourself by the third or fifth take kind of thinking, geez, my eyes are looking at that music and that's sending impulses down in my hand. And then you're going, oh, crap, do we play the bridge yet? So I'm really spontaneous. You know, I try to be as I try to rehearse my spontaneity as much as possible.
Right, sure.
But you know, even when we play live, I try never to play the same thing twice. Each moment requires a different response.
I mean, there's something to be something great to hear that from you, because music at the end of the day is a creative endeavor.
Absolutely.
And there's something about the feel and emotion that goes into it.
Yes.
What makes you guys work in the way that you've chose to work with each other and continue to work with each other? What, talk about the collaboration between the two of you and why you continue to make music together.
I heard Judith the first time I was working with Harry, her husband, on this project that he did, The End of the Bushmen, about the end of the Bush administration. And we were playing at a place called Blues Alley up in Seattle. And he said, oh, my wife's going to sit in and do a couple of songs. And she sat down at the piano, and my jaw dropped. I really was not familiar with her work. I knew her as Harry's wife, but I really had no idea. And when she sat down at the piano, I just kind of took my breath away, and I felt an instant kinship with her, because her music was so much all of that singer-songwriter thing, even though that's gone on ever since James Taylor. I mean, every year I work on albums with singer-songwriters. But there was something that was just really special, and as soon as we started playing together, I felt a kinship with their...
Judith? I mean, it was just because... And when we got to know each other, and obviously I already was a fan of Leland, and I'd been plotting and scheming for a couple of years how I was actually going to hit on him musically. And then this kind of this choice, situation came my way, where I actually, you know, I was hoping, oh, I hope he likes me. I hope he likes me. And of course, it's perfection.
I like her.
And the reason it's perfection is because, as it turns out, when Leland started out and, you know, cut his teeth with James Taylor, so to speak, James is a very heavy bass hand. You know, he's playing the bass notes on the guitar, as well as everything else besides.
A
remarkable.
Really remarkable, underrated guitarist.
Incredible. Now, I am that solo singer-songwriter all these years who, when I write a song, it is complete. You know, it's about that. It's like the colors that you then add to. It's like the dynamics you bring with other instruments, but it's like painting. You want to make the song greater. You want to bring everything out. You don't want to just cover it all because it's there. And the really remarkable thing about Leland is that he dances. It's like a duet, the two of us, and he is dancing with melodies around my left hand. So even though I'm already playing the roots, and I always am, and there are times when he'll be taking it over, because there's nothing that beats, obviously, the bass when it's really, that's what it's doing. But there's such a beauty. I think what's interesting about all the musicians here and all the musicians I ever work with, including my British string players as well, is that everyone comes from a classical background. You know, Pedro is a classical and a jazz star, and that's with the crossover. Helen Gillet, you know, Rebecca Crenshaw. We're talking about classical people, and Helen and Rebecca are from New Orleans. Well, actually, they actually live in New Orleans. I can't say it's from there, because Helen actually does an awful lot right here and is a very, very truly superb cellist. Does a lot of work here in Chicago. And but we come from that same sensibility, where we know that what we're doing is we are making truly a miniature orchestra.
I love
we
it.
Are like a tiny orchestra that are creating these little vignettes.
Well, let's do this. Let's get an update on tonight's news, and then we come back. We'll hear a little bit of that mini orchestra that is set up right in front of us. Judith Owen is in studio with us tonight, along with legendary bass player Leland Sklar and the band as well. They're going to be playing at Space in Evanston coming up on Sunday, 7 o'clock. What we'll do is we'll take a break, we'll get tonight's news, and then we'll come back and hear some live music here on 720 and WGN. Thanks, Rob. It's a download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. All right. Very excited to have in studio tonight Judith Owen, singer-songwriter. She is going to be at Space in Evanston coming up on Sunday, 7 o'clock. also along with legendary bass player Leland Sklar, who's in studio as well. And we're ready to hear some more music, live music, with the band, which also includes Pedro Segundo, who's on percussion, Helen Gillet, who's a cellist, and Rebecca Crenshaw on violin. All right, so let's get to a song. What are we going to hear now, Judith?
Well, you're going to hear a song called "Send Me a Line," and it's really it's at my expense because I've got this new saying, which is "Life is what happens when you're so busy, you know, too busy taking a selfie," and that is basically me. And I'm missing all the big stuff and the good stuff in life, but it really is about how none of us can cope even 20 seconds without a text being replied to, or, you know, because then the world goes to hell in a handbasket. And here we are sort of looking over at Trump Tower, and I am led to believe at this point, who knew that this would mean so much singing it now and here tonight, but actually, you know, we have our first tweeting. You know, it's the president that
Tweeter in chief,
reality TV
right?
and Twitter won over. Yeah. So hell, this goes out to the big guy. Why'd I go and write the things I had to say? Second guess myself when it was too late, too late. And now my heart is out there sinking. Oh, body, won't you send me a line? Send me a line. Oh, body, won't you send me a line? I'm dying here. You're waiting for your answer. Don't wanna close this screen at all. Cause I could go and shop and get my clothes and more. I am free to go wherever I want, but can't seem to make it out the front door. Oh.
Yeah, there we go. Yes. We like it out there. Streets likes it. There we go.
Well, you know what? There is nothing worse in this world than sending out your heart and thoughts to the world and hearing nothing back.
Welcome to radio, right?
Welcome to radio, indeed. I tell you, it's so hard. That must be so hard.
Judith Owen in studio tonight with her band, including Leland Sklar in studio. Pedro Segundo, Helen Gillet, and Rebecca Crenshaw also in the band playing at Space. Coming up here in Evanston on Sunday night, 7 o'clock. It's, I mean... it's great to watch you guys perform, and you mentioned the idea of the mini orchestra, and you know it doesn't sound like a normal orchestra of any form, and no. The way that once again, I mean, at the beginning, asking about how you defy category and you use all the kind of music, yeah. That song is a great example of the way that you use instruments and percussion that yes. Isn't necessarily where you would usually find it.
Nope. I don't think anybody really on this particular gig plays in any straightforward manner or in a way that you would expect. I certainly don't as a player. I'm a bit of a beast on the piano and I'm singing, so I'm, you know, there I am powering along. But there's Leland moving all the way around me. You can hear it. It's such a beautiful thing. Pedro
just
is
trying to avoid you.
Okay, mate. You don't have to push it. We were getting on so well. I do love him. I do.
Nice.
They're big. That's enough. So I've got to bring the Brit out. Did you hear that? Did you hear the forcefulness of my voice?
No,
I love
him.
I love this man. I know. Well, I don't want you not turning up to the gig and going all... Anyway, Pedro Segundo, he's playing what I can only describe as what it is, a cajon that he's sitting on. And then there's this box in front of him that most people just go, what is that? It's the most bizarre wooden snare you've ever seen in your life. And then I've got my girls who are absolutely playing the most pompous baroque string sections, and together it makes complete and utter sense.
Leland, let me ask you about playing around the music. I mean, because I, you know, when I hear that, and there is, I mean, I by watching you play and listening to how the bass plays, you're right. I mean, it's not this sort of driving bass line that kind of it keeps everything structured. I mean, it's very eloquent the way that the bass in that song kind of dances around the music.
Well, it's like what Judith said earlier, like with James Taylor. I find myself a lot of times working with people that have already defined the bottom end in what they're doing. And I kind of just had to figure out how to justify my phony baloney gig on what to do there. Because, you know, I mean, it's like you can ape them and just, you know, double what they're doing. But it always felt like I just had to find something that would kind of weave around that would lock that down, but also give other things. There are other projects where I'm really straight up bass playing on it too, but these kind of things, I really love this style of music.
I was going to say, I mean, when you're going into work with somebody to record an album or to be in a session, are they looking for more of that? Is that sort of Leland style? I mean, are they looking to dance around?
You get that a lot. There's sometimes almost an expectation that's really a drag, because they sort of think you're going to save things, you're going to do something amazing, and you're just coming in and you're hearing it. It's pretty normal stuff, and you're going, I really don't know. I don't want to be walking all over it and stepping out too much. And sometimes you might walk away and they go, what's the big deal about him? You know, it's like, you don't know. You just don't know.
Wait, give me their addresses. But no, I'm going to go and sort them out. Like, I'm angry now.
No, but like last week I was working with Judith. We were in the studio doing new stuff, which is really amazing. And then the 2 days after that, I was doing a Japanese metal album. So, you know, you whatever the call is, you go accommodate it. So you're kind of a chameleon.
Yeah. The thing about being as musical as Leland is I just saw him. He's been on the road with Phil Collins in his comeback tour in Europe. And I went to see him in Bercy, and we were out there at the same time. And we go into this huge kind of arena in Bercy. And Leland is like holding it down like a mother. You know, it's just ridiculous. I feel so proud. But, you know, it's so incredible. What he does with me is an entirely different thing altogether. He is playing like a soloist. It's a very different thing.
What I noticed too is that in the collaboration of that song is a great example of just to couch this, but is that it does feel like there is an effort to be creative. There's creativity in it, and in your world, how much of that still exists? Because there was a time in the 70s and 80s, and even with James Taylor, that it was the band got together in the studio and you collaborated. Yeah. I would assume the way that the industry is kind of changed, it's become a little bit more like, can you come in and record this bass track?
I never quite thought that at this point in my career I would spend most of my time in somebody's bedroom. You know, that's kind of how you start. It's funny though. But
yeah,
I mean,
but
it's
right,
like, you get all these calls and everybody's got their Pro Tools rig at home, and I end up going over, and half the time I'm doing bass parts to just a click track or some drum machine that they say, we're going to replace that later. You're like, you know, like Kenny Aronoff's coming in next week and he's going to do drums, I haven't got lyrics yet, but here's kind of a and you're trying to like really create parts.
Is that hard for you? Is it hard? I mean,
well, it's a drag, because sometimes you hear it finished and you think, if I'd have known that that's what they were going to do, I wouldn't have done what I just did. But I don't have any reference point at that point in the project. But it's kind of gone full circle, and I'm doing so many more projects now where it's full bands in the studio.
Okay.
And a lot of stuff we're even going back and cutting analog, you know, doing tape, and the machine isn't no longer just the place to set the pizza box and hold the door open. They're actually turning them on and using them. So it's a different, you know, it's a different world, but it's the old world that's coming back in a different permutation.
Judith, how much, I'm curious, when you go in the studio, and you're going to work on this stuff. How much are, and because you said you don't like to intellectualize the music, but how much are you putting a game plan down when it comes to the song? I mean, saying, get together, all of you talk, this is what we want to do, this is what I'm thinking about. How much of it is that versus play this, play that?
No. Because I'm exactly, that's another reason why we all work so well together, is that I do the best take, the first one, maybe the second. And then I start overthinking it, and then I don't mean it anymore, and then I don't, and I'm confused. Then I have like incredible blanks, like, you know, like suddenly I can't even remember lines, notes, nothing. And it is that thing where I do actually like to go. I mean, there's so much thinking about, you know, what you're going to do. And luckily I have wonderful people like Steve Lee, who's here today, who actually, you know, manages with me and gives me that, you know, that schedule and a plan to work to, because that's not my strength. My strength is going into a studio, as we did this last week. I've got the songs, I've written the songs, we go in, I play them through, I know what I'm hearing. Oh, a couple of them I'd already played with Pedro, so he got that rhythm and knew what we wanted. But when the three of us in particular, and this is something we learnt on the road in 2014 when I was arranging and writing the songs for Somebody's Child on the bus, and that's what we realised, is that the joy of being together and being field players, and it all coming from what is needed, what elevates the song, what gives it its meaning, as opposed to, I just want to show off my chops.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the thing. It's like, and that's why I respect jazzers so much and why I am jazz influenced, and when, you know, how could I not be? I'm so in love with people like Joni Mitchell. To me, it's that there's a freedom, because say we do three takes of a song in the studio, they will not be the same. They can't be. My singing isn't the same. My playing is not the same, and it shouldn't be, because it's about performance.
Well,
and that's the jazz part.
And you've developed skills that equal the passion.
Yes.
And that's that. At the end of the day, that's the recipe for having a successful creative endeavor.
My desire as a kid was always to be the best musician I could be. And especially as a woman, you know, I couldn't bear the idea of somebody going, oh, can I help you find that chord? Or, you know, it's just like, to me, I was just, I found it to, I take great pride and have a very healthy ego when it comes to this stuff. You know, I really do pride myself in being a strong musician. It is the love of my life, and it is for all of us. And so I don't take it lightly. It means the world to me. It's not that I do it because it's the thing I love to do, or that's true as well. But I do it because I can't not do it.
Absolutely.
And I've never met a passionate musician who doesn't
feel that
way.
What else are you going to do then? That's right.
Because I'm awful without it. You know, I'm the darkest, Welshest person in the world without it. And you don't even want to be around with me. It's awful.
It's just horrible.
It's terrible. Yeah.
Judith Owen in studio, singer-songwriter. Also, Leland Sklar, the legendary bass player. They and their band will be at Space in Evanston on Sunday night, 7 o'clock. All right, let's do this. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and we'll get one more song live in studio.
Lovely.
Judith Owen, stay with us. It's Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman in studio with us tonight. Judith Owen, she's singer-songwriter who is going to be at Space in Evanston coming up at 7 o'clock on Sunday night. Also along with legendary bass player Leland Sklar, who's in studio tonight as well. And the band, Pedro Segundo, who's a percussionist, Helen Gillet, who's a cellist, Rebecca Crenshaw, a violinist, and they are all here right now, the mini orchestra.
The mini orchestra. I really hope people are going to, especially the folk that come out for the Christmas show, I hope they'll come down. Because they're always sort of like, when are you coming back? But not in that accent, obviously. So I'm just hoping that they will actually come down. Because, you know, come on down, peeps.
Yes,
it's
going to
be a great
night. I'm going to try to make it. So that's how it goes. Okay. So what are we going to hear here?
Well, I figured that because we're just about to go out again and open for Brian Ferry, this is the right song to finish with, because back in, I think it was 2015, we were touring in Britain with him opening, and And I remember, you know, the funny thing about being a touring musician is that you get these great highs. But when you're opening, you get this short, compressed, incredible, you know, amount of time that you're like shot from a, you know, from a cannon. And then you've got to find where somewhere to put your adrenaline afterwards because you're on such a high. And you end up going back to, like, you know, the Radisson Blu or the Hilton or something. And you're sitting in your bedroom thinking, well, this is crap, you know. And I don't like to hang out too much with the band. They're too rude. And so I found myself thinking, this is the saddest thing. I missed at the time. I was weird. And as I said, and I was missing my husband and my dog and my family, my dog. It occurred to me that every time I heard Brian sing this song, it made me think not of romance, but of the fact that without the people you love in your life to share these amazing, precious, rare moments doesn't really mean as much. Truly, there is nothing more than this.
Here we go.
I could feel at the time there was no way of knowing fallen leaves in the night. Who can say where they're blowing? I must thank you.
Oh, so good. Yes. So good. Singer-songwriter Judith Owen will be at Space in Evanston coming up on Sunday night, along with legendary bass player Leland Sklar, also the band Pedro Segunda, Helen Gillet, Rebecca Crenshaw. You guys, I can't thank you enough for coming in.
Thank you so much for squeezing us.
No,
I
can't.
And of course, to the guy himself, Dan Philosopher, putting us together.
Well, I appreciate it. And again, at Space in Evanston on Sunday night, 7 o'clock. A pleasure to meet you, and thanks for coming through. Appreciate it.
Thank you.